From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. The big story today is in our backyard, Hollywood, where screenwriters are not writing. They're walking picket lines here in Los Angeles and in New York. Their strike against the film and TV studios began at midnight last night. In a few minutes, we'll go to New York, where we check in with The Daily Show's John Oliver, who's on the picket line.
And throughout the negotiations between writers and producers, there have been two big points of contention. One, the writers want to be paid when shows are broadcast online, and they ask that royalty fees for some DVD sales be doubled.
As the strike deadline approached last night, the Writers Guild dropped its DVD demands, but that wasn't enough to stop the strike.
Nick Counter is president of the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, which had been negotiating with the Writers Guild. After the talks fell apart last night, he sent out a statement that said, quote, "We made an attempt at meeting them in a number of their key areas, including internet streaming and jurisdiction in new media. Ultimately, the Guild was unwilling to compromise on most of their major demands. It is unfortunate that they chose to take this irresponsible action."
We go now to Brian Watt of member station KPCC. He's at the Fox studios in Century City, where writers have just started marching on their picket lines. Brian, can you describe the scene out there at Fox?
Well, I am standing at the sign-in table that they set up about 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour before 9 o'clock, which was when all this was supposed to start. Around then, there were about 10 people. Now there are people about as far as I can see, stretching down, because this is a very big studio, the Fox lot. I would say that there are about 50 to 75 people marching, carrying red signs, Writers Guild of America on strike. They're wearing red T-shirts, which apparently they have already run out of because more people have already shown up than they were expecting.
Have you had a chance to talk to any of these writers? What have they been saying?
Well, none of them are glad to be here, but none of them appear scared. This is a very, very organized effort. They had 300 strike captains putting this together, and they are very, very confident. They're not worried about how long this is going to take. They say they've given up hope on getting a great deal from the studios. They say they just want a fair one.
And what kind of issues are they talking about? As we mentioned, they've dropped the DVD demands for higher royalties. What are they talking about as most important to them right now?
Well, it really is all about the internet. It's interesting that they've sort of backed off that DVD demand, because when you ask them about this internet issue, this notion of being paid for internet downloads, they're saying that it's kind of the same situation as was at stake years ago when the DVD question came up. It's this notion that the studios think, and they think that there's not a lot of money to be made, or they're not really sure how much money there is to be made on the internet, and so they're not quite ready to negotiate with writers about exactly what their cut of that will be. And the writers say, well, that's the way it was with DVDs, and we see exactly how many people are watching television shows and movies on DVD today.
Brian, any sense of how long this strike might go on for?
These folks, I mean, it's a very, very fresh, crisp energy out here, but they are ready to be out here for as long as it takes, according to what they're saying. I mean, I haven't gotten anyone to privately say that, you know, they'll do this for a little while and then stop.
Brian Watt of member station KPCC, he's standing at the writers' picket lines at the Fox studio. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we go now to New York, where screenwriters started picketing 3 hours earlier than their colleagues here in Hollywood.
NPR's Margot Adler is on the picket line in New York City. And Margot, what's the scene like?
Well, I'm standing next to this picket line of hundreds of people right at Rockefeller Center. This is, of course, the Writers Guild of America East, and the 12,000-member guild is demonstrating here. And I'm standing here with some amazing writers and entertainers, including John Oliver of The Daily Show. I'm going to give you to John Oliver right now.
Okay, great.
Hello there.
Hi, John Oliver.
Yes, that's right. John Oliver speaking.
Well, welcome to NPR in your new role as correspondent.
Well, correspondent for NPR, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm fake correspondent. Under strike conditions, I cannot stress that strongly enough.
So let's just say you had to report on this for The Daily Show. I know you can't do it.
Well, that's right. That's the whole point, is that I cannot report on this for the Daily Show. That is the point. I'm afraid I can't give you any right sideways look at these proceedings. I can only hit you with dry facts.
But you could do it maybe off the top of your head, as long as you're not writing anything down, right?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. To be honest, I find sincerity quite strange. We've spent years not being sincere about anything, and then all of a sudden I think we have found something to be serious about.
Okay, so I'll let you be serious for a few minutes here. Tell us why you are on strike there, why you're picketing.
Well, we're on strike here, to try and move on the negotiations over the Writers Guild contract, which has expired. Most particularly, new media, I guess that is the key thing, you know, especially us with the Daily Show. You know, you don't see our clips on YouTube, and yet you do see them with advertising splashed all over them on the internet. So clearly revenue is being created, but writers aren't receiving any of that, so that's why we're here.
So I don't think a lot of people realize that when they see you and John and everyone else on the Daily Show and other shows like that, Conan, Jay Leno, that there are a team of writers writing all those jokes. It's not just the people you see on screen.
Absolutely, yeah. Without the writers, there is essentially just someone staring awkwardly into a camera. And whilst that might be fun for 5 minutes, believe me, that would get old quickly.
Okay, well, John Oliver, I'll let you get back to it. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
And can you pass the phone back to Margo?
Hi there.
Margo, who else? Describe the scene a little bit more. Who else is there? Okay. Is it all writers or other people as well?
It's writers. There are some entertainers. I saw someone going by from Law & Order. I couldn't tell exactly who it was, but I sort of vaguely recognized them. It's mostly writers, though, and some of their supporters and friends. It's a very sort of friendly picket line. There's a huge rat that's the typical strike rat. The inflatable rat that's literally 10 feet high or whatever. And it literally, you can look at the rat and look at the people skating at the Rockefeller Center rink at the same time and the sort of lines of American flags. And then you turn your eyes about 1 centimeter and suddenly you see a million strike signs and people chanting fair share, fair share. And that seems to be what the main demand is, that they get some percentage of the amounts of money that are beginning to be made in new media.
Okay, well, great. Thanks, Margo.
Okay, take care.
That's NPR's Margo Adler on the picket line outside Rockefeller Center.
One of the genres likely to feel the effects of the strike soon is daytime drama. Soap operas are on daily, so what happens to them when there's a strike? Here with some insight is Sally Sussman Marina. She's written for the soaps for more than 20 years, including as head writer for Days of Our Lives and most recently for The Young and the Restless. Welcome, Sally.
Hi.
So soap operas shoot just about every day, right? The pace is pretty furious. So what does happen when there's a strike?
Well, soap operas shoot 250 original episodes every year. And traditionally what has happened during a strike is the networks continue to show original episodes. Those original episodes are written by SCAB writers who come in and write the shows under anonymous names and keep the shows going for the networks. That's been the tradition in prior strikes.
So these non-guild members who decide to write during a strike for the soaps, do they pretty much kill their shot of becoming a guild writer from then on out?
No. Well, traditionally in the past, in prior strikes, a number of writers who wrote during the strike who were not guild members at the time subsequently became guild members and have had quite flourishing careers along the way. This time the guild hopes to be able to find out who these people are and ultimately to prevent them from joining the guild. There are a number of current guild members who did get their starts in prior strikes and who are currently working. And, you know, everybody knows who they are and we don't really begrudge them so much, but it does undermine the writers who are on strike.
How easily are these writers able to jump in? I mean, some of these shows have been on forever, and there's so many twists and turns of plot lines. Can someone just come in and start writing for a show?
No, they don't just come in from the cold. It's not like they go out on the street and they say, are you a soap opera fan? Usually these are people who are connected to the show in some way, either via the network, either via the crew or the production staff.
So is this like the secretary at the front desk?
Perhaps. Or? Absolutely. No, these are people that we're talking about who are approached, you know, to make a little bit more money and to write some of these shows and to take a shot at writing.
Sally, the last big strike was in 1988. What was the effect then, and what do you see as the potential effect of the writer's strike on soap operas now?
All right, 1988 was a long strike. It was a 5-month strike. It took a significant hit on the daytime ratings. what happens is, obviously, when you have scab writers writing a show, the quality suffers substantially, and the audience knows that, and they start to tune out. Daytime has never recovered from the effects of the 88 strike, but now here we are 20 years later. So now we have daytime in a much more precarious position rating-wise than it has ever been in, which puts the daytime writers in a very, very difficult situation, because the soap opera business as it is right now cannot really survive and be healthy with a long strike, especially if viewers defect and don't come back. That's what happened in 88, but it's a much more devastating impact this go-round. And I think that the reason that daytime writers are so nervous, and reason that daytime writers, even though we are totally behind the Writers Guild in this go-round, feel nervous, because we don't know if we'll have a business when this is all over.
And what are the issues that are specific to you as a daytime drama writer? I mean, some of these issues that we've been hearing about new media and things like that, do you have the same issues as the rest of the Writers Guild?
Absolutely. This is the first time in my memory, this is my fourth strike, that the differences between what screenwriters, primetime writers, daytime writers all stand to gain or potentially lose from this strike, we're all in this one together. This is the first time the issues here, new media potentially has an upside for soap opera writers, because the ability to write quickly, the ability to write cheaply, the ability to write the type of storylines that might be successful on the internet. So the daytime writers have a potential new market for their services. In other words, we're in this with the Guild now. There is potential upside for the writers with new media, and there is hopefully future work. The current issue is really, though, if this goes a long time, what will the state of the soap opera business be at the end of it?
Sally Sussman-Marina, thank you so much.
Thank you.